I think one of my favorites is, so I have high maximizer, and maximizer can be really annoying to people because I like everything to be the best it can be. Like, it's never good enough. I could always push for more. And I had an employee who stopped giving me work or stopped starting things because she knew I would change it. She knew I would edit it. And when we discovered strengths and we learned about each other's strengths, she was like, oh, that, so you don't think my work's bad. You just want to make it better. And I'm like, yeah, that's been the deal the whole time. Like, you've been doing a great job. And she thought I was saying, you know, by changing it, I was saying she didn't know what she was doing or she wasn't doing a good job. And it forever changed our relationship. And we have had such a great partnership ever since, because she knows starting it is what she does well, finishing it is what I do well, and together it's so much better. And that was an awesome turning point for us.
Hello and welcome to Your Creative Haven, a podcast by Kobe.
Join us as we talk about things like community, creativity, collaboration, and self-discovery.
We'll share stories, struggles, tips, and laughs about living lives as creatives, entrepreneurs, and dreamers.
Join us on the journey.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Your Creative Haven. I have Jessica Teachin, who is a business consultant, here with me. Hey, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and you are from St. Louis, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. And she is currently her book is about to come out. And what's the name of your book? And can you give like a brief kind of summary of that?
Yeah, so my book is called The Exceptional Life Revolution, and it's kind of a play on words, because I believe that we need to evolve our performance, and that if we do so, that we'll start a revolution that helps people to live exceptional lives.
I love it. And you are currently making a transition in your work life. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I've spent the last over 10 years, almost 12 years in the corporate space. I went to law school, but then quickly pivoted in the corporate world to really taking on the talent management, human resources function. I've managed basically all the different areas of operations with IT and customer service and order management and all those things. And right now I'm in the midst of making a shift out of the business that I love and I helped to create as an exceptional workplace, but to try to help more businesses and more people be able to live exceptional lives.
Yeah, wait, I feel like we need to go back to, you went to law school and then you end up doing HR. What's the story there?
Yeah. So I thought I was going to be a trial lawyer, and I went to St. Louis University Law School. I graduated in 2010. And while I was waiting for my bar results, I joined this corporation to help with an acquisition that they were going through and just kind of defray legal costs. And in the process, they were growing and I loved it so much. I loved all the people so much that I didn't want to leave. And so when they offered me a position, I thought I would only stay for a couple years, help them get talent management or HR off the ground. And I didn't end up leaving. I just loved it so much. So that's my like kind of crazy path to where I'm at.
So wait, how long was law school?
The law school was like, 10, 12 years ago.
Okay. And then you've been doing HR for a while now. So you've gotten to know that pretty well in that space and gotten pretty comfortable there, would you say?
Yeah. It's my passion is to help people, you know, grow, develop, and really hit that peak or that their best performance.
Yeah. And so is this your first book ever? Do you have other books?
This is my first book. This has been quite the journey to get to this point.
Yeah. How long have you been working on that for?
So it really, I started to feel the nudge to write a book during COVID or after the year of COVID. You know, I think all of us went through the challenges and the self-reflection during that year. And at Christmas, I thought, I need to put this into a book. I think I need to write a book. And by the spring, it was really, really strong. So I've written it, and I'm about to publish the book on October 10th. And I've done it all in 6 months, basically.
Wow. So where do you even start when it's like your first book? Were you just like searching online, like Googling how to write a book, or what did that process look like?
So I've done a lot of writing in the corporate space with trainings and programs and things like that. So, and I use a method called Erratium, and it's actually like a training that I received a number of years ago that always starts with what's the problem you're trying to solve, or what's the problem your audience has, what is the action you want them to take, and then what are the things that they need to know, what are the key insights to get them to that action. So I really use that structure that I just love and live and breathe it. And then started to build all of those insights, all of those elements together. And I had all the knowledge that I needed because I've done so much research and I've built training programs and I've worked in this space for so long. And so it was all there. What I really needed was like the coaching and support to help me, you know, bring it to life, to help me bring the insightful analogies and stories and things that could really make it actionable and impactful for people when they read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And so now, I'm assuming it kind of goes along with the themes of the book, but you moving into more of a consulting role, who are you looking to do consulting work with? What kind of people are you helping?
Yeah, so the primary space is going to be in the HR talent management arena. I want to partner with businesses that are already good or maybe even great, but they really want to be exceptional. They really want to be extraordinary. They want to be the best. And so I want to work with them, and especially mid or small size companies that can't necessarily afford a VP of HR or a chief people officer or something like that, to have me come in and partner with them and help them put together their strategy, put together their program, and then coach their resources and their teams through that transition to help them and partner with them long term. So that's really going to be kind of the primary. I also am going to focus in coaching for female leaders, because I think there's an absence of those, and inclusion is really, really important to me as a person. And then I want to have a little bit of, I want to use the same training that I create and use with in the corporate space and make it available to individuals who aren't part of a corporation. Either they work on their own, or maybe they're an unpaid worker who works in the home, so that they have access to the same tools, techniques, and strategies that the corporate world has.
Awesome. And when are you starting your coaching? Because I know you're making that transition. And by the time this episode comes out, you'll probably be a little bit closer to that.
Yeah, so I'll be starting, the book's launching on October 10th, but I'll be really starting to work in the business by October, November.
So this is something that we talked about before, and something that I kind of nerd out on, and it sounds like you do as well, and along the coaching lines, StrengthsFinder. Can you just share a little bit about your journey there of strengths? Because I know that's a big thing for people that are just trying to grow and understand themselves and figure out where they fit. And that's kind of what you're helping people do in a sense. Can you just share like a little bit about your journey with strengths?
Yeah, so I first took my strengths assessment probably back in 2015, maybe before that. And I ultimately became a Gallup certified strengths coach because I certainly drank the Kool-Aid. And I think that strengths are definitely the best way to maximize or improve your performance. They just make such an impact in how you build relationships, how you execute and live and operate in the world. And so the Strengths Finder, which you know is the assessment that Gallup uses, and it assesses you for your top five talents, for the things that come most naturally in terms of the way that we think, feel, and behave. And so I love to use them to coach and develop. And I found in my experience that when you do that, when you use that, not just at work, but at home too, it changes everything. It makes everything work so much smoother and you feel so much more joyful.
Yeah. I absolutely love StrengthsFinder too. It's helped me to understand myself so much, and you understand why you think certain ways, and actually understanding other people is like an even bigger thing, and understanding the way that people operate. And I know that plays a huge role in doing consulting for people. So for anyone out there that is looking for any sort of consulting, coaching, someone that does have that experience in StrengthsFinder is going to be a level up.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's so affordable. It's only $20 to take the assessment. So even if you just take it for yourself, it's just totally, just easily worth the investment. And even this last year, one of the things I discovered was, and this is after years of working with Strengths, Gallup did a well-being, they released their book on well-being and talked about how our strengths are our best avenue to figure out what well-being means for us, how it works for us. And so for me, communication is my number one strength. And so writing actually became, and moving to writing the book was part of my well-being. Like being able to write helps me feel better and it helps me feel more fulfilled. I'd rather write than go spend the day at the spa. So it's my way of nourishing myself or of paying attention to my well-being. And so having my strengths really put that in context for me. And Gallup's been they're a phenomenal partner. My book is actually, I'm a licensed partner of Gallup. So there's a lot of materials in it that talk about strengths and how to use it and how to apply it as well in my book.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And I want to know the other strengths that you have. So you have communication is your top one.
Communication's number one, and then maximizer, ideation, input, and strategic.
Okay. You're totally like operations, make things happen.
So what about you? What are your top five?
Strategic. I don't even know the order anymore because it's changed a couple times, but strategic, developer, futuristic, ideation, and individualization.
Awesome.
So I'm like, with all those, I'm like, I actually looked into doing coaching for a little bit and tried it just because of all of those things. I was like, I look out into the future and help people understand strategy. I love working one-on-one with people. And I've learned that like, I'm definitely a team builder is what I like, putting together teams. Like that's what I found that I love doing. And for all your strengths, I feel like so many people, I'm always looking for people with those strengths as far as like operations. Devin on our Kobe team is like, I'm the only operations person here. Everyone else is big idea person. So we definitely appreciate people with all sorts of like make it happen and communication. So that's really cool. I love those strengths, and I kind of wish I had some of them. So.
Yeah, I think strength jealousy is always part of it. I do not have a lot of relationship building strengths, so I am pretty jealous of people that have those. But I think that's the beauty of strengths, is that then everybody's a little different and they bring something different, and you can't do the same thing alone that you can do together. So I think it's just really powerful in that way.
Yeah, it is. It's so true. That's one thing that I love seeing. I love seeing people just like where they're meant to be, and they're just thriving. So, do you have like, was there a specific moment in your, I guess, either going to law school or in your corporate career where you started to think, hey, I feel like there's something else that I could be doing? Was there like a some sort of switch there at all?
I think that for me, the biggest shift came most recently in going through COVID and going through the pandemic. And really that slowdown and that reevaluation of life that I think everybody kind of went through caused me to think about how to live differently. And I'd already been building all those principles into my life. I went through some health challenges. I went through some challenges with when I had kids. And those were like kind of laying the foundation. But then going through the pandemic was really where it solidified, you know, there is so much more to life, and other workplaces need what our workplaces already found. Other workplaces and other people need to know these things and learn these things, and they're not mainstream yet. There's plenty of information and knowledge out there, but it's not widespread. And so anybody who's contributing to that, I think, is bringing value. So for me, that was kind of my pivot point of saying there's something more. And then writing the book was kind of the okay, I really need to be all in on doing this. This is going to make a difference in the world.
Yeah. And are you allowed, can I ask for like a sneak peek of some of the things that are in your book? Are you allowed to share any of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So like what are some of like the big themes in there, that maybe some of just your couple of your favorite themes in there that you have?
Yeah. So I talk about, and really the book is about living an exceptional life, and it applies to any role that you perform. So it applies to the roles at work, the roles in our homes or families, and the roles in our community. And I talk about a lot about that. Well, one is performance starts with you, which is a lot of strengths and a lot of, you've got to know yourself. You've got to figure out how to be authentic and vulnerable and develop and kind of lay the foundation. I think of performance as a journey. So I talk about that we each have our own performance mountain to climb, and each of us have a different performance mountain, and we're probably going to climb different ones throughout our lives. But it is preparing for the journey that helps us to be successful on the journey. And so that's kind of the analogy that I use. And then I've got, I talk a little bit about the lessons that we learned from 2020 and the pandemic and how we can apply those and really change how we live, work, and interact in the world today. And then I have four keys to peak performance, the four things that I think help you to achieve peak performance. And then the last section is really taking those four keys and applying them in the different settings. And I apply it to leadership, workplaces, homes, and communities, and how do they apply or what do they look like in the roles that we're performing?
Yeah. Man, I have so many questions to ask you about that, but I really want to keep that as kind of a cliffhanger for anyone that wants to get the book. So I won't do any spoiler alerts other than that. So everyone get the book if that's something that you're interested in. So one thing you did mention in that, and one thing that you did say you're passionate about is building community. And I feel like that's where I would love to focus today. Like what makes you care so much about that? Like where does that come from, I guess?
Yeah, I think, oh gosh, where does it come from? To me, what I see is so much brokenness in our communities, that where we used to really live and operate together in a more connected fashion, we've kind of fragmented in a way that makes things more complex and more separate. And I think there's a need to really drive back together. And it may look, and may, it will look quite different than it did before. Certainly I'm forming communities with people that live all over the country and starting to build relationships. So it doesn't have to be the same as it was, but it is important to our existence for us to connect and have meaningful relationships. And when we do that, we can accomplish bigger goals and we can accomplish them. And when I talk about community, I talk about it in terms of our government, our education system, our the different religious organizations, spirituality, all those different groups that really support the fabric of how we operate and live and interact in society outside of our workplaces and homes, all those other things that bring us together. And I think it's just so important to build that and have that in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing that we care about a ton over at Kobe too. It's one of our like main pillars is building community. And it is so important. And are there in your book, are there like specific tips that you like practicals that you give to people on how to do that better?
Yeah. So when I talk about the four keys to peak performance, the four keys I use are expectations, feedback, development, and accountability. And I take those and I apply them in the context of our communities. So what does expectation setting look like in the community setting? What does feedback look like? What does development look like? And most importantly, I think for communities is what does accountability look like? And because there's such a lack of that in a lot of spaces of that's not my problem, that's their problem, or I shouldn't have to worry about that. And there's a real lack of personal ownership and accountability of me saying, this isn't someone else's problem, it's also mine. And we together have to solve it. And instead of passing the torch or passing it on to somebody else to deal with, we all own it. And I think it's important for our kids to see that. I think it's important for our community organizations to have that. And I personally feel like a lot of that is lacking. There's a lot of finger pointing and, just a general lack of accountability. So I use those types of examples to say, this is how we could do it better. This is how we could live into our roles in the community in a more meaningful way.
Yeah. And you also talk about that in the home as well. And, cause I think that's like such an important place too. And there's probably a lot of people listening here, that have kids and have families. Go ahead.
I mean, everybody, right? Everybody's got somebody, you know, whether it's their parents, their kids, their family members, I even include in that, like, if you've got, you know, friends that are really your home family, you know, like who is it? Everybody's got that. And we don't always think about our performance in that setting as being intentional as well. And it really should be, right? Like, especially for parents, like they really most, you know, you want to do the best you can by your kids. But then we don't really think about what are our expectations as a parent? What feedback am I getting? How am I growing? Have I learned new skills? What am I learning to help my kids be better? How am I performing as a parent? And then that accountability, what am I doing to deliver on all those things? And so I think, you know, likewise in our families and in our homes, we have to think about our performance being more intentional. And when we do, amazing things happen. I mean, when you I use strengths with my husband, and when we talked about and like laid out, you know, how we would do feedback and how we would interact in certain ways, it changed everything and it made everything so much better. So I think we really, in our families and homes, we've got to be more intentional.
Yeah. I'm curious. Do you know your husband's strengths off the top of your head? I'm sure you do.
Yes. So he is deliberative, responsibility, relator, self-assurance, and analytical.
Okay. So you have a very confident, confident husband.
Yeah. It's interesting. With his high deliberative, he always takes a long time to make decisions. So once I learned about his strengths, I learned that if I wanted to have a conversation about something, I needed to drop that we were going to have that conversation well before we actually had it. Hey, we need to talk about XYZ, you know, about the car, about the kids, whatever. And then like a day or two later, okay, have you had time to think about it? Now let's talk about it. Like, and that made all such a great difference for us.
I'm sure that was such a nice change, like understanding that. So, Yeah, because some people do have to take a while to think about things. And because deliberative is probably one of the strengths I know the least. I feel like I know one person in my life that has that. What's the exact strength again?
Yeah, so deliberative is the desire to take time to make the decisions and to think through them thoroughly and evaluate risk. So they really are slow to come to answers and conclusions because they want to evaluate and make sure they really understand it first. And they're terrible, consequently, at giving feedback or our recognition. And with my high communication, I really like that. So one of the strategies I'd love to share this with people because I think it's so valuable is we started a practice a number of years ago where we thank each other for everything, no matter how small. So we just always say, like, thanks for doing the dishes. Thanks for changing the diaper. Thanks for getting the kids to bed. And they're all things that, like, have to happen. And we wouldn't, you know, you don't necessarily have to say thank you. But doing so made such a difference because we both feel better because we're doing it all the time. So we're hearing thank you and we're hearing recognition for the things that we're doing. And so even though he's not good at, like, other recognition, we have that to kind of always fall back on.
Man, I feel like you could almost even be a counselor along with your business consulting just because of how well you know strengths. It's just, you just can understand people's motives and their, how they operate so much better.
Yeah, it's great in the business context too. I mean, it changed how I operated with my executive team and how we got things done. I'm a huge proponent of it in the workplace too.
Yeah. And it does make sense why you're in the HR space. I feel like, I mean, with all your strengths and everything, I feel like that's like, you're like operations and helping people in their relationships just run better. Are there like any big moments that you got to see in your career of like helping that happen and just like helping other people understand the people around them? Are there any big moments at all that you can think of?
I mean, I've had so many, especially with the people that work directly for me. You know, I've spent a number of years with a lot of them. We've developed close relationships and seeing them, you know, really grow into their strengths. I think one of my favorites is, so I have high maximizer, and maximizer can be really annoying to people because I like everything to be the best it can be. Like, it's never good enough. I could always push for more. And I had an employee who stopped giving me work or stopped starting things because she knew I would change it. She knew I would edit it. And when we discovered strengths and we learned about each other's strengths, she was like, oh, that, so you don't think my work's bad. You just want to make it better. And I'm like, yeah, that's been the deal the whole time. Like, you've been doing a great job. And she thought I was saying, you know, by changing it, I was saying she didn't know what she was doing or she wasn't doing a good job. And it forever changed our relationship. And we have had such a great partnership ever since because she knows starting it is what she does well. Finishing it is what I do well. And together it's so much better. That was an awesome turning point for us.
Yeah, not understanding that makes a huge difference. You just think someone's like so frustrated with what you're doing, and oh man, that I could just see that coming across that way with you having maximizer. It's definitely nice to be able to understand like the other side of your strengths that people are like, oh man, like this person's being really hard on me. Mm-hmm. or whatever it may be that may come off the wrong way.
Well, and in the space of strengths, you know, Gallup talks about, and I'm sure you've looked at this too, that our weaknesses are most often our strengths misapplied. The things that bother other people or frustrate other people are probably the things that we're actually best in the world at. And that is why they're so intense. And so it's just as important to understand the basement or the downside. So for me, maximizer, there can be moments where things don't need to be maximized and I need to just be done with it. You know, and stuff. I can edit a PowerPoint presentation to death. I mean, the lines lining up will drive me crazy, but like, it really doesn't matter, right? In the end, it really doesn't matter. Now, like, I can't stop myself from doing it altogether, but then there are times where, okay, you're right. This doesn't need to be maximized. I need to let this go. And so you start to understand, you've got a language to talk about the things that trip us up. You know, I do that with my employees all the time. They have high achiever and they can get into just I'm go, 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 go mode. And I'm like, okay, get out of your basement of achiever. Let's take a step back, look at everything that we have and decide what we really need to do rather than just continuing to try to plow through the list. So it just really helps with those feedback conversations.
Yeah. And if you're going to be coaching someone that is new to StrengthsFinder and understanding their strengths, what are some like key things for them to work on just for those, I guess, people that are new to that?
I was thinking, Gallup says this too, that the first step is really naming it. So the first step is really like seeing what those strengths, how those strengths show up and what they look like for you, because it really is meant to be unique. So Gallup gives you the report, but then you've got to interpret how does that manifest in you specifically? How does it come together? And your unique combination of strengths is really what's gonna make you and really gonna highlight what you do best in the world. So I think that first step of just naming and then claiming, naming and really knowing or identifying with what it looks like for you is the best first step.
Mm-hmm. And with the work that you do, are you able just to look at someone's top five strengths and kind of get a feel for how those all work together pretty quickly? Can you get a pretty quick snapshot of that?
I've been doing this for 5+ years, so I have a pretty good sense of how strengths come together. Certainly there are ones that I've seen being in the corporate, and I'm in the engineering manufacturing world, so I work with primarily engineers. So I've seen some more common than others. And then I actually recently did a session with some more creative consulting coaching type folks, and it was so different because they all had lots of relationship building, high empathy, like completely different, like strengths that like barely rate in the corporate world. They just aren't even on the list a lot of times just because of the nature of the work and the people that we hire. So, you know, I think there is a lot I can put together, but then every person's unique. So it does take some, you know, I can make suggestions of this might show up in you this way, but it's not always, right? It's not always a firm rule. So I can give enough to help people then put it together. Like, well, no, not like that, but it is like this. And then they can start to speak to it themselves.
Yeah. So I'm curious if you look at my strengths of futuristic, strategic, developer, individualization, and ideation. Does that, do I not fit at all in what you usually see in corporate careers?
No. I mean, I think those are you know, and I think they're an interesting combination. I think you don't see a ton of ideation. I see a lot more analytical, but I think, you know, your combination of strengths with your futuristic ideation, combined with your relationship building of individualization and developer really does fit you well for cultivating relationships and figuring out a path that brings people together and brings people together to achieve something in the future, to work towards some type of goal or some type of thing that they're trying to accomplish. And finding those right people with the right skill sets to connect together is probably a really, that individualization and developer together is a really fun combination probably to find people and then figure out how to connect them.
Nice. I really just wanted some free consulting person for me. No, that was awesome. I always like to talk to people that know StrengthsFinder well and just learn how they see things. And I feel like you just sound me up so well in 10 seconds. So, and it actually helped me understand myself a little bit better. So it's always fun. I could talk about StrengthsFinder all day, every day.
Me too. Absolutely.
Yeah. And is there anything else that you want to touch on, whether it's your book, whether it's strengths, anything else?
Yeah. So, you know, with my book, there's some, you know, with my book, I've also included a free workbook that I developed, because throughout the book, there's a lot of different reflection sections and opportunities to really take the practices and put them into practice for yourself or take action on them. So when you get the book, you'll get a link to a free download to download a workbook, as well as the free, it's just a mini course, a short course on creating exceptional experiences. So a couple extra bonuses that go along with the book itself if you purchase it.
Nice. I love it. That's awesome. I'm about to go and check that out after this.
You know, I think the key message for me is that I want as many people as possible to know that they can live an exceptional life, that it's possible. And it's not a perfect life. It doesn't mean that you're going to have a life without challenges or life without issues. You're still going to have those things. But while you're going through them, you're going to feel better, live better, and be happier. And it's all within reach. It's all possible, and all the knowledge that you need, all the wisdom that's necessary to achieve that outcome exists today. You just have to put it together and learn it and use it, and you can achieve it. So for me, that is everything.
Yeah. And that was actually a pretty good answer to what I was about to ask you. I always close with, if you could give one piece of advice to creatives, entrepreneurs out there, what would that be?
So the number one piece of advice when it comes to an exceptional life is starting with your mindset and starting with who you are and learning about, one, who you are, and then how you think, and crafting your mindset intentionally to achieve the objectives that you want to achieve in life. And if that includes living your best life, living an exceptional life, which of course I think it should, then to make sure you go through that step and make sure you take that time to really understand it and apply it in your life.
Awesome. And so for anyone that's looking for you, where can people find you?
So my website is evolvingtoexceptional.com. And you can find me on Instagram, Jessica Teigen, JD. Jessica Teigen was taken, so I just added my Juris Doctorate JD on there. And likewise, you can find me as Jessica Teigen, JD on LinkedIn, on Facebook, you know, on all the platforms.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for joining. I absolutely love talking about strengths and community, and I'm so excited for your book to come out. By the way, she did the artwork on the cover. I don't know if that's is that the final cover? Is that it?
It's the final cover with my artwork on it. Yep.
All right. So she does it all. I mean, I was like, I didn't know you're an artist too. This is amazing. So, yeah, her book will be coming out. So keep an eye out for that, and check her out on all social media and her website, and check out those couple downloads. And thank you again, Jessica, for being on our show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see you guys later.